right. That was Bob McFarlane with I'm a Mummy. And before that, we heard the Magnetic Fields. I think I need a new heart. All right. I am here for the Garden Talk with Rebecca and Mardell.
Good morning, Joni.
Good morning. What's going on this frosty day?
Well, you know, I heard as I was driving into town that this is a Halloween show. So I was trying to figure out what's Halloweenish about garden. And the first thoughts that came to my mind is that Halloween to me out the road means that that's when snow. That's when I plan on there being snow in the ground. And then I thought about carrots for, I give carrots, kids hate me, but I give carrots for trick-or-treat.
No, wait, Mark.
I do. What can I?
Come on, you're going to get soaked up your windows or something.
I know, but living out the road, we don't get many trick-or-treaters, so it's kind of
carrots.
Irrelevant. But then I got here, and Rebecca says, well, Halloween, it's storage of squash and pumpkins. And I said, well, I don't have them. You're going to have to tell us how you do it. So, Rebecca, how do you store squash and pumpkins?
Okay, well, I just, when I harvest them, you leave the stem on, if you can, and then I bring them into the warm living room and let them finish ripening, if they have any green color to them, and just let them turn a really nice dark orange color in that warm temperature. And then I move them back into my cold room, which is attached to the back of my house, and it will stay around 40 degrees in there. Somewhere between 35 and 45. It does fluctuate. But they just sit on the shelf in there and hang out. And I've had my small wonder squash keep 12 months or more.
Wow.
And the red curries keep really well, too. And I just look at them now and then and see if there's any soft spots forming and make sure I eat those first.
Mm-hmm.
And but they keep wonderfully, and they're a great addition to your diet all winter.
And go ahead, Joni.
And do you grow pumpkins as well?
I'd grown the baby bear pumpkins.
Baby bear.
And
okay.
The small wonder, which are a small, they're actually not that as small as you would think, but they're a miniature spaghetti squash. They're darker orange.
They
and
almost
nice
look
flavor.
Like a pumpkin when when they're orange.
They look like a little pumpkin. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also grown red curry.
And some of those will, like the small wonder you're saying, you need to bring in to be warm.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, there's some squash that basically ripen on the vine. And then you don't necessarily have to bother with the warmer temperatures to ripen then.
Exactly. Yeah. If they're green at all, then I let them warm up and ripen in the living room. Otherwise, they go straight to the cold room.
Okay.
And so, Mardell, what do I need to know about storing my potatoes and beets?
Okay. We talked about storing of carrots. We talked about carrots so much that you don't want to hear about carrots, but we're going to talk about the storing of potatoes and beets. And it's pretty similar to carrots in the sense that they like a low temperature. It's about 40 degrees, but if you don't have that, potatoes will keep. And well, in fact, if you bring potatoes home from the store, you can keep them at room temperature. It's just not very long. And the thing that will happen is that room temperature causes them to sprout faster. And they're eventually going to sprout. Do your potatoes sprout in the spring?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So potatoes are eventually going to sprout. The goal is to keep them from sprouting as long as you can.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things about potatoes is that you need to make sure that you don't expose them to light when you are curing them. And curing them simply means that you're letting the skin thicken, get tougher, so that they keep longer. And I had somebody say, oh, well, I just put my potatoes out in the yard to cure them. And I went, really?
Yeah.
Not a good idea, because it potentially makes them green. And there is truth to that. If you eat the green part of a potato, it can make you sick.
Right. We recently had a couple of friends who made themselves quite sick overnight by red potatoes that had turned green.
So now you can, it is true. That's right. And I certainly, eating a little bit is not going to kill you. Don't panic. But what you should do is you should peel off, or take off the part of the potato that's green. Now, there is some controversy over whether you have to get rid of that whole potato. Most things that I have read have said that it's okay to use the rest of the potato if just part of it is. But Rebecca and I were talking earlier that there's some people that say that you need to ditch the whole potato. But also, the green is not going to be destroyed by cooking it. So you need to actually get rid of it. And so storing your potatoes in a cool, dark place. Potatoes, you don't have to put a medium. Like we were saying, carrots will keep longer if you put peat moss or sawdust or something around them. Potatoes, you can just pile in a pile or put in a crate or whatever, and they will be fine. And what they will do eventually is they will dry out and they will sprout. You can still use them. I have eaten some pretty weazened up potatoes.
I always do every spring.
Yep, every spring I eat weazened potatoes. And you know what? They're okay.
Yes, so. They are.
So beets, let's talk about storage of them. Mm-hmm. Those are really quite similar to carrots. Again, you can leave, just like carrots, you can leave beets out without having anything over them to keep them, keep the moisture in them. And I find them to be one of the most long-keeping vegetables. And they will store very well in your refrigerator. If you do not have a root cellar and you have enough space in your refrigerator, I've kept beets for months in the refrigerator, especially in a green bag. I don't know. Have you ever used green bags,
no,
Rebecca?
No, I've never heard of that. A green plastic bag?
A green plastic bag. Huh. They're commercially purchased. I think you've seen this on TV ads or something. Well, they really work for me. I find that I can keep my produce weeks longer in these green bags. And I've done a little research on what makes them work, and it's how the air passes through them. But anyway, that's another show. But so anyway, I've kept my beets for a long time in the refrigerator, but I usually have too many to do that way. So I just I keep them in crates in my root cellar. And so I don't really do very much special. Do you wash your beets when you put them in, or do you?
I don't do it super thoroughly. I just spray them down briefly with the hose, mm-hmm. and then they go into boxes in layers of damp sawdust.
Uh-huh. So you do put yours in sawdust.
I do, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you read about storing vegetables, everything will say do not wash them. I think that's a good idea, but I break those rules. I don't like to bring dirt into my kitchen in the middle of the winter, so mm-hmm. I do wash mine. And I keep them until, you know, the next spring.
Yeah, I like to spray them down with a hose just to get those big clumps of dirt off.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It makes things a lot easier.
Yeah,
later
exactly.
On.
Yeah. So, okay. So, what about onions and garlic? Should they be stored the same way, Rebecca?
Well, onions require different conditions. They like it to be 45 to 55 degrees, a little bit of humidity, but generally they like it drier. And when you, it makes a difference what variety of onion you grow, because basically you want that neck of the onion to dry quickly, and we have such a wet fall that it's important that the neck of the onion be really narrow and small and fall over quickly, because if you grow onions that have that really fat neck, they're not going to want to cure. And
so are there onions in particular that you grow that you like for that reason?
Yeah, I really like the Highlander and the Copra, and we've ordered those through Dixondale Farms in Texas. You can order those plants through them and other varieties as well, but mm-hmm. You'll see on their brochure that the Highlander is one in particular that has a small neck that dries quickly. And what that means for us is that you're going to be able to cure and store that onion very effectively. So Highlander and Copra are my favorites, and I encourage you to try different ones and look for that specific trait, because it's going to enable you to store your onions.
If you want to keep them.
If you want to keep
right.
them. Right.
And so, for example, Walla Wallas, mm-hmm. I grow quite a few of those, mm-hmm. and I just know that I can't keep them, and they've right. got that big old neck. And
right,
so
but you're going to eat those
first. I'm going to eat those right away.
And you've planned ahead for
yeah,
that. So
exactly.
That's perfect
mm-hmm.
for you. And so anyway, I like the Highlander and Copra for storage onions, and I bring them in, and they're going to have that period of time where they need to dry thoroughly. And I clip them down, clip some of those greens off, and I let them dry upstairs in my house on some racks so they have thorough airflow around them. And you wait until that neck of the onion, you leave 2 inches of neck on there, I say 1 to 2 inches of neck on there, and you wait until it's completely dry inside. There should be no slippage in there. Mm-hmm. When you rub it between your fingers, there should be nothing slipping, and you'll feel it when it's dry. It's just crunchy in there. And that means it's done curing. And then I get those mesh bags, like you see at the store, that onions get stored in, and you can get mesh bags from Hauser's or Olerud's. They'll just give you their old onion bags. And I maybe fill it like half full, and then they hang up in my cold room, where it's going to be a little drier and warmer up there. And that's how they stay all winter long. They'll keep 6 to 12 months. The Copras especially are 12-month or longer storage onion. And the Highlanders are more than like a 6 to 8 month storage. So,
and do not put onions in plastic bags.
Right. You want them to breathe. Yeah, and that's the whole purpose of that mesh bag is they need to breathe and be really dry.
Yep. Could they be in burlap?
I think so.
Burlap would be fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about leeks, Margo? Yeah. Do you store leeks?
So how I have stored leeks is I mostly put them in the freezer. But the ones that I want to store, I just pull them out of the ground, roots and all, and I take them and I put them in a bucket that has some peat moss or some soil in the bottom of it, and I just stuff them in there and I take them to my root cellar. I take them to a cool area. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're going to dry out a little bit, especially if you try to keep them for months. But you just peel off those outer layers, and that's how I keep them. Is that what you do?
Yeah, they are remarkably tough, and they will keep just in that bucket with a little soil. I've had them keep through March even until I get tired of it, and I just chop them up and freeze them.
Use them. Another thing that I do is I usually keep about a dozen leeks in the ground. And so in the spring, I have some fresh leeks. It's just kind of more of a psychological thing than anything else. It's like, oh, I have fresh food I can eat, because leeks will overwinter and they will be remarkably good shape.
Yeah, they're incredible after winter.
So what about garlic? What do we need to know about keeping garlic? Where do we keep it?
I keep it similarly to my onions. I keep them right alongside with my onions. The hard neck gets clipped with a 1 to 2 inch neck, and it goes into a mesh bag. And the soft neck I braid up and hang on the wall right next to my onions. But very similar. It can even be warmer than onions. It can go up to 60 or 65 degrees even.
And I've had, in my research, there's a lot of information that says that garlic should be cool. But my personal experience is they do not keep as well in my root cellar, which is cool, higher humidity, as just a 60 degree, a cooler room. That's where I keep my garlic, and it seems to do the best that way.
Right.
But air ventilation is important. I'm going to try a new thing this year, is storing my garlic in paper bags that have lots and lots of holes punched in them. So they're in the dark. I haven't really kept mine in the dark. So I'll tell you next summer.
And mine stays pretty dark in my cold room. You know, it might have a little light when I go in and get things, but mostly it stays dark and around, 45 degrees, and just right next to those onions, it's stored perfectly.
And speaking of garlic, you should be planting it, right? Or have planted it already, right?
Well, for most of us, we're going to do another show because we're going to run out of time today. But Rebecca breaks all of the Haynes rules about garlic, and she plants her garlic in the spring. So, yes, you should be planting it if you want to do fall planting. But there's also an option. Don't panic if you haven't done it. Go to Rebecca, and she'll tell you that, yes, you can plant garlic in the spring very successfully.
Right. So. It'll just mature around in August instead of July, which has never been a problem.
And we'll talk about garlic another time. So, but one thing about garlic is that if you put it in the refrigerator, like a lot of people, I go to my friend's house, and they keep their garlic in the refrigerator. if you want to keep it any length of time, that's not a good thing to do, because once garlic has gotten cold, and if you bring it out, it is going to sprout. You have triggered start sprouting. So, and if that happens and you don't want to use it, which you can use it, but if you don't want to, you can pop that green that is sprouting into a little pot, and you have garlic greens if you don't want to use. Yeah, so... I have just a little bit of time that I'm going to talk about bulbs for flower bulbs. And Rebecca doesn't do flowers, so I'm going to talk about this the most. And I talked to Stephanie, our local flower grower, and, you know, she says, no muss, no fuss. Don't worry about them. She pulls her dahlia tubers, her begonia bulbs out of the soil, and she just stores them in flats in her very cool greenhouse, but nothing special. The only thing I do a little bit more special is that I almost cover my dahlia bulbs with a peat moss to keep the tubers moist. And then I put them in my root cellar, a cool place. Begonia bulbs I'll wrap in newspaper, again, with the purpose of keeping them somewhat moist. And gladiola bulbs, also, they have to be pulled from the ground. Those corms, again, you want to keep them kind of moist, but you don't want them to rot. So I keep my gladiola bulbs just in room temperature, and then I replant them the next spring. So,
all right. So how do people get in touch with you if you want to ask questions, anyone wants questions?
They need to email garden@khns.org.
All right.
And please keep those questions coming, just because we're going to try to keep this going through at least part of the winter if we can, if there's interest. So show us your interest by sending a question or comment or something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
A happy Halloween.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. You too. And I'll be sure to stop by your house and get some carrots.
My carrots are really sweet.
All right. The Garden Talk. Thank you so much, Rebecca and Mardell.